Yeshua, my life you are. Yeshua, my shining star. You've ravished my heart, O Ancient of Days. I'll follow after you, both now and always. Yeshua atah chayai, Yeshua atah Elohai, natata li chayei ha'olamim, lalechet bedrachecha le'orech yamim. Yeshua, my life you are. Yeshua, my shining star. You've ravished my heart, O Ancient of Days. I'll follow after you, both now and always. Consuming fire, you're my heart's desire, and I love you dearly, dearly, Lord. You're my meditation and my consolation, and I love you dearly.
Oh, Shabbat Shalom. In my meanderings through the faith-based sites on the internet, I came across a sermon by a seasoned pastor in which discussing Adonai Yeshua's miracle of calming the wind and the waters of Lake Kinneret, the Sea of Galilee, in the passage we read today, he made the following statement. So already Jesus has broken the laws of physics and biology. With all due respect, I challenge that assertion. In today's message, then, I address the often asked question, does Adonai violate his own laws when and where he chooses? Abba Father, I pray that our hearts and minds are to be open to your word to us, and that this morning we may be ever open to your putting your word into our hearts so that we may put your word into practice. B'shem Yeshua Moshechenu, in the name of our Messiah Yeshua, Amen. In preparation for today's message, I am indebted to Kyle Pope, an elder in a congregation in Amarillo, Texas, who has assisted me with some of his thoughts about structuring such a message. Thank you, Kyle. In focusing on the issue of whether Yahweh adheres to the law of physics and biology, which he created in order to order and organize the universe, I have used the following structure. I will be addressing the basic elements of common law, the basis of law we follow in Canada, which will provide a context for this examination. And then deal with Yahweh's relationship to the laws he created. This will lead us then, hopefully, to a conclusion that will deal with the question for the time being, at least. Before we begin this inquiry, let me address the question, why does it matter if Yahweh violates his own laws? This is not so easy a question to address, since it presupposes the response, Adonai can do whatever he pleases. He's the ruler of the universe, isn't he? However, there are consequences which follow even what Yahweh does, as this is the natural order he has established. There are those who believe Yahweh created the laws of physics and biology, set them on autopilot, and then every once in a while intervenes to make whatever corrections are necessary to put things straight when they go off track. When we examine that contention, we may see the flaw in the logic. The assertion of Yahweh's interventions to set things straight erroneously assumes his original plan was flawed, and as a result, we come to the inevitable conclusion, Yahweh is imperfect. I hope you agree with me that this line of thinking will get us into much trouble, as it brings into question Adonai Yeshua's sacrifice, his redemption of sin, his salvation, just to name three of the consequences of such a line of reasoning. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. The first issue in dealing with law is that of authority. In Canada, the basis of all law is legislation. Thus, we have Parliament in Ottawa, the authority of federal laws, legislative assemblies in each of the provinces, the authority for provincial laws, and municipal councils, the authority for all municipal bylaws. Obviously, the only authority for God's law is God Himself. This understanding we derive from Scripture. As we have examined many times before, Yahweh's authority comes from His inherent nature and His character. His existence is eternal, as we read in Deuteronomy 33, the God of old is a dwelling place with everlasting arms beneath. His wisdom and knowledge are limitless, as we read in 1 Samuel 2:3, for Adonai is a God of knowledge, and He appraises actions. And in 1 John 3:20, God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. His power and strength are unparalleled. God is exalted in His strength, as we read in Job 36:22. Then, how surprisingly great is His power working in us who trust Him. It works with the same mighty strength He used when He worked in the Messiah to raise Him from the dead and seat Him at His right hand in heaven, far above every ruler, authority, power, dominion, or any other name that can be named either in the Olam Hazeh or in the Olam Haba, as we read in Ephesians 1:19-21. And in His perfect holiness and righteousness, no one is as holy as Adonai, because there is none to compare with You, no rock like our God, from 1 Samuel 2:2. And then from 1 Peter 1:15-16, following the Holy One who called you, become holy yourselves in every way, in your entire way of life, since the Tanakh says, you are to be holy because I am holy. The second element of law which pertains to Yahweh's law is the existence of rules and regulations. These are absolutely crucial, since without these, any system would be chaotic and lawless, which, if you haven't already guessed, is an oxymoron, since every system needs regulation in order to exist in the first place. Yahweh's regulations are to be found in Torah, both from the Hebrew and the Apostolic Scriptures. For example, we read in Deuteronomy 12, "Obey and pay attention to everything I am ordering you to do, so that things will go well with you and with your descendants after you forever, as you do what Adonai sees as good and right." And from 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is valuable for teaching the truth, convicting of sin, correcting faults, and training in right living." A third crucial element in addressing law is jurisdiction, or the community or territory over which a sovereign governs and for which the law applies. For Yahweh, this is the entire universe, including, of course, our own planet, Earth. We read this in Isaiah 45, "For thus says Adonai, who created the heavens, God who shaped and made the earth, who established and created it not to be chaos, but formed it to be lived in. I am Adonai, there is no other." And in Matthew 19, we hear from Adonai Yeshua makes clear statement, humanly this is impossible, but with God everything is possible. The fourth and final element I would like to discuss with you today is that of subjects. There is a well-used cliche which states, you only have a parade if people follow you. Without subjects to rule, laws are useless. The same is true with Yahweh's laws, rules, and regulations. They would be meaningless unless there were living beings whose movements were covered. We get a sense of this in Deuteronomy 28 when Moses teaches, if you listen closely to what Adonai your God says, observing and obeying all his mitzvot, which I'm giving you today, Adonai your God will raise you high above all the nations on earth, and all the following blessings will be yours in abundance. This issue may also be seen in John 14, when Adonai Yeshua speaks directly to us. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. All life is subject to Yahweh, not only humanity. Indeed, we see this clearly in Adonai's teachings from Matthew 6. Look at the birds flying about. They neither plant nor harvest, nor do they gather food into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And why be anxious about clothing? Think about the fields of wild irises and how they grow. They neither work nor spin thread, yet I tell you that not even Shlomo, Solomon, in all his glory, was clothed as beautifully as one of these. To bring home clearly the understanding, all creation is subject to Yahweh, let us examine Revelation 5, in which we are told, and I heard every creature in heaven, on earth, under the earth, and on the sea, yes, everything in them saying, to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb belong praise, honor, glory, and power forever and ever. Up to this point, then, I have developed the positioning of Yahweh's laws, rules, and regulation for humanity, animal life, and vegetation. We know, then, Yahweh has the authority to make the laws which govern our lives and laws which govern the biological as well as the physical world. From his authority, he has, as the sovereign of the universe, he has the right to create rules and regulations which govern our daily behavior. These rules and regulations may be found in the teachings of Torah, found, as I said, both in the Hebrew and the Apostolic Scriptures. From Scripture emerges the boundaries of his jurisdiction, which we understand to be the universe and beyond, as he is beyond time and space. And finally, we know from Yahweh's mouth, all of creation is subject to Yahweh Adonai Yeshua. At this point, then, let's examine the relationship Yahweh has with his laws. First, we will examine the laws of nature and how he relates to them. As we have seen throughout Scripture, Yahweh created the laws of nature. How do we really know that? Jeremiah 33 shares with us, if I have not established my covenant with day and night and fixed the laws for sky and earth, then I will also reject the descendants of Yaakov and of my servant David, not choosing from his descendants people to rule over the descendants of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. However, we know the ruler of the universe stands outside time and space, as we may discern from Isaiah 57. For thus says the high exalted one who lives forever, whose name is holy, I live in the high and holy place, but also with the broken and humble, in order to revive the spirit of the humble and revive the hearts of the broken ones. And from Psalm 102, in the beginning you laid the foundations of the earth. Heaven is the work of your hands. They will vanish, but you will remain. Like clothing, they will all grow old. Yes, you will change them like clothing, and they will pass away. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. Being outside time and space, Yahweh is not bound by the laws he created, and is able from time to time to intervene for specific purposes. For example, in 2 Kings 6, we read of Elisha's being the human agent for one of Yahweh's miracles, which defied the laws of physics. Then Elisha cut a stick, threw it in there, and the iron axe head floated to the surface. Then, as we read in Joshua 10, Yahweh caused time to stand still. Then on the day Adonai handed over the Amorite to the people of Israel, Yehoshua spoke to Adonai in the sight of Israel. He said, "Sun, stand motionless over Givon. Moon, you too, over Ayalon Valley." So the sun stood still, and the moon stayed put, till Israel took vengeance on their enemies. There is a clear example of Yahweh temporarily suspending the laws of cosmology during the time of Adonai Yeshua's crucifixion. As I shared with you earlier, the biblical reference for this is to be found in Matthew 27. From noon until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, all the land was covered with darkness. Remember the historical reference to this event I shared with you last week. The quote comes from the writings of Julius Africanus. There was a full eclipse of the sun from the sixth hour to the ninth. As Ron so clearly mentioned after last week's message, a full eclipse of the sun would take no more than 6, perhaps 10, at the most 15 minutes. However, a 3-hour eclipse is a physical impossibility. In order for there to be no light during this period of 3 hours, there had to be supernatural intervention. Then how do we explain the 10 plagues of Egypt other than by Yahweh's direct intervention, temporarily suspending or altering specific natural laws in order to accomplish his purpose? But whatever he altered, he returned to its original state, except one. There are many more examples we might use to show how Yahweh suspends or temporarily alters the natural order of the universe to fulfill his purpose. But does he change these laws? This is a tricky question. Some would argue, and Kyle Pope is among them, Yahweh canceled Shabbat when he healed on that sacred day. He and others cite the episodes of Adonai Yeshua's healing on Shabbat as evidence of Yahweh not following his own regulations. Let's look at one of these issues of healing on Shabbat. In John 5, Adonai Yeshua healed a lame man who had been waiting at the pool of Bethesda, the house of mercy. After he was healed, he went to the temple and shared with everyone who had healed him. The Judeans, that is the Pharisees, reacted strongly to this, as we read in John 5:16. The Judeans began harassing Yeshua because he did these things on Shabbat. However, Adonai Yeshua responded, "My Father has been working until now, and I too am working." The Greek word used here for "I am working" is ergazomai, which has a few meanings, including perform, complete a task, etc. However, we must look below the surface of this meaning and go deeper into the intent or the spirit of the phrase. What is the Father's work? I know this is possibly the wrong question to ask, as the answer would take us into next week. But just to summarize all that he does, his work is spiritual, as Adonai Yeshua's work is spiritual. Was Adonai Yeshua breaking the command to not work on Shabbat by healing? Does Torah provide a way for anyone to heal on Shabbat? To address this question, we go to two areas of Scripture: Torah, specifically Leviticus 18, and Adonai Yeshua's words in Luke 13. First to Torah, where we find in Leviticus 18 the principle of pikuach nefesh, literally to save a soul. Let's read Leviticus 18:5. You are to observe my laws and ruling. If a person does them, he will have life through them. I am Adonai. How do we obtain pikuach nefesh from this verse? The ancient sages argue Yahweh's laws and rulings are designed to preserve and promote life, not to end life. From this understanding, then, it's not a gigantic leap to the conclusion the preservation of life is more important than legalistically following Torah commands. Adonai Yeshua alluded to this principle when he said, as recorded in Luke 13, "You hypocrites, each one of you on Shabbat, don't you unloose your ox or your donkey from the stall and lead him off to drink?" Rightly did he say his work and his father's work is righteous work to be conducted on Shabbat, as this work was designed to promote life. So I pose the question again. Does Yahweh violate his own laws when and where he chooses? Imagine the chaos which would ensue if he did violate his own laws and regulations. Well, another question arises: is temporarily suspending or altering the same as violating? Notice when Yahweh temporarily suspends or alters a natural law for a time, it always returns to what it was. It is never changed in the sense it stops being what it was intended to do. Can Yahweh do this? Psalm 115 states, "Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him." To claim Yahweh can change his own laws so that they are no longer in force at his whim is not in his character, as we have discussed many times here in Kehillah. That he can temporarily suspend or alter the natural laws for a time in order to fulfill his purposes is well within his right as the ruler of the universe. Avinu Malkenu, our Father, our King, I pray for our understanding of your awesome power as our great and beloved Abba. I pray that you, with your ultimate power, runs the universe as you see fit. But we also have the understanding that you will never change your own commandments. You will never abolish your rules and regulations, for they are here to guide us, to direct us, to lead us, to help us remain set apart, kadosh, holy. In your beloved name I pray. Amen.
Praise the Lord.